The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, I'm Griffin McElroy. Travis, what's the matter, partner?
What's wrong?
I didn't get the call. You know, today when we're recording this, it's the first official game of the NFL 2020 season.
Oh, once again, no.
Yeah, once again, I didn't make the cut.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You've been practicing so hard.
Yeah.
You got that tire.
I don't get to feel up the pigskin. And
you can't fondle the pig, and you got the tire in the backyard that you throw the football through.
I flip the tire, and then I throw the football through it.
And then you
and
do
then
a
I run around, and I catch
stomp
it.
Stomp through it. Most of your practice is tire-based. I remember when me and Justin and you were playing out in the field, and you found that tire, and you picked it up, and you said, now I can play football.
Well, it was a magical tire, or else what was it doing in that field, you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't a car for miles.
We were confused when you said, this tire is the key to football. But then we watched you practice with it. You worked so hard. Your body looks so crazy.
And I didn't get the call. I didn't get the call. And so another season, and I thought this year, you know, is like COVID-19's out there, and so maybe they'll need more people.
Yeah,
maybe it'll be like that situation where that one bartender from Philadelphia, and they were like, "Hey, you,
you
come play for us," but nobody called me.
That movie's wild because it's like, if this fucking dude can play football, why not Travis with his magic tire?
Right. I didn't get the call.
Man.
I waited by the phone. Every day. I even drafted myself to my Ding Dang Fantasy Football League, and now I look like a total tit.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get many points off your own sweat of your brow. Trav, I'm sorry.
They won't let me write in my points. Say, like, well, today I played touch football, and I scored 3 touchdowns, so that's 21.
This should have been your year, though.
It should have been.
If not this year, you know?
No one's even going to be watching, you know what I mean? Because, like, they can't go to the stadium.
No.
Right? And so you would think that they would be like, let's try some weird stuff this year.
This would be the year for, like, a donkey that kicks field goals, right? If they're ever going to do it.
Yeah.
Or Tony Danza, the incredible field goal kicking garbage man. What is that?
No, I think you nailed that.
I think that's what you're talking about. I mean, baseball's having fun with that. I don't know if you guys have been keeping track. I'm not one to follow the sports news, but I did see a story today that the Atlanta Braves won a game yesterday with a big 29 runs. So it feels kind of like they were just like, guys, let's just have fucking fun. This doesn't count. None of this counts. Let's just have fun with it. Why don't you throw a few slow boys down the plate? Let me get a few grand salamis. And did next game, I'll let you do it because none of this fucking counts or matters.
It has just occurred to me that there was never an equivalent of, like, rookie of the year, but for, like, the NFL, where it's like, hey, that 9-year-old threw that football pretty good. Get him in here with all these, like, 400-pound men.
Or, I mean, in the NFL version of rookie of the year, he would be huge. Like, and that would be his thing, is that he would be like a linebacker, and he would be the Hulk. He would be.
But he's, like, 10.
But he's 10 years. He's a 400-pound 10-year-old, just monster, absolute unit of a lad.
The garbage picking, field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon.
Love it.
Is the full name of the film starring Tony Danza as a garbage man that is good at football.
And that's got to have great SEO. You know what I mean? So easy to remember, clear to search for.
Was the story of that movie, can you believe this professional sanitation worker can also be an athlete?
They give an average guy a shot at the NFL.
Why?
And they make him the kick. Well, because he's the kicker, so who cares?
No, but I mean, right? Even then, was it just like, hey, that guy, let's see if he can do it.
They
or was
see
there a contest?
Him. I have like vaguest fucking fragment of a memory of him kicking like water bottles really far. And they're like, yes, this translates.
Yes.
You are the guy.
Half of the players in the real life NFL is because somebody saw them like throwing fish at the fish market or like tackling a bear.
Sometimes
they say, yeah, that guy's very good at tackling.
Scouts will sometimes just go to the tire store and watch how people shelf tires and move tires around. And they're like, that's football, baby.
The end of that film, I pulled up the Wikipedia page to get the right name. At the end of that film, the holder of the football fumbles the snap, and Tony Danza grabs it and scores the game-winning touchdown. So even the creators of the garbage-picking, field goal-kicking Philadelphia phenomena agree that a kick is too boring of a way to end a it's just not interesting enough. It has to be a touchdown. You can't just make it a good kick. That's nothing.
I mean, I disagree because I would watch a game that's just kicks, that's just kicking back, just field goal after just a shootout.
Soccer.
Yeah. Ah, fuck.
Wait, what now?
But the ball would be super silly. Like, they wouldn't. That's what I love about the American.
Put a little water in it.
The European football is like spherical in a way that is sort of like geometrically pleasing to some. But I love the way that when American football hit the ground, it's like, good luck, fuckers. What are you? I want more weird balls in sport, and by which I but when I say that, I don't really want it that bad. I really feel like in order for sport to move me these days, you need to score 29 big runs in a single game, because that now we're playing some like broken, you know, MLB 2K on the Dreamcast.
It's transformed into Blazeball.
Yes, essentially.
If I might, here's what I think would really, if I might fix football in 2020 to get more people watching, cosmic football.
Huh.
A lot more like, you know, after hours bowling alley where everything's like, you know, black light and like neon and like maybe you play some like especially funky music, PG-13 music, if you will, Cupid Shuffle. Where you're not sure where the sexual part is, but it sounds pretty good.
It sounds good, and that's great, Trev. Say, is part of your plan also maybe make the field a little bit shorter, maybe get rid of some of the penalties, and then maybe have a sort of strict opinion about political demonstrations on the field Vince McMahon, or...
In XFL, is there, like, the ball is blacklight?
Yeah, it is.
No.
Well, it's so you can make sure everybody did wash their hands. It's for safety.
Oh, but you, like, all the uniforms are black, right? But you put some, like, neon reflective tape on to make them look like stick men running around?
Oh, or skeletons. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, for the Halloween season.
You can dress up. You can do your own costume.
Yes.
That's cool. That would be like when we played mascot football. When I played mascot football at a River City Locomotives indoor arena football game, and I was Cowabunga, the cow for WTCR, and I went out there on that beautiful field, and it was my crowning achievement because I did run in a beautiful touchdown, but I only accomplished it because Louis the Lightning Bug sacked the fucking shit out of Shoney Bear and sent her poor head flying 10 yards down the field.
I've been in that cow costume. Visibility is low.
It is limited. It was an incredible catch. It'll be the end of my movie. Nothing I've done after that is going to be better. But it's also going to be the start of Louis the Lightning Bug's movie because he really made Shoney Bear eat fucking mud.
There's a scout who's like, give me that lightning bug. He tackles good, but then he can only tackle in the lightning bug costume.
You got to play it safe around me.
Is Louis the Lightning Bug a universal reference or a local reference?
We'll find out, won't we? Should we do a question?
I'd love that. Thank you so much. I'm really excited about all the good Munch Squad I have this episode.
I feel like I've been seeing a lot of Munch Squad in the ether. I feel like people are getting...
It's all just been saved up in the pipe. There's going to be a clog.
I almost don't want to... Oh, wait.
No, Justin, you can't do that. Just rip it, baby.
Give me question number two.
I'll do a couple throughout the show. Can we do that? Can we just do a couple throughout the show? Okay.
Munch.
Okay, Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast, profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating. There's just so much going on that I need to talk about. You guys hear about the Candyman?
What? Don't say it again.
Candyman is the is David Klein. He is the creator of the Jelly Belly.
Okay.
Oh, I heard about this.
So he, not Jelly Bellies themselves, but the creator of the Jelly Belly, who kind of struck out on his own after, I assume, selling the brand for a lot of money. The Candyman is
said it three times.
Okay. Fuck. I knew you were just, I wanted to get it out of the way. So I beat you to it. So he is doing a Willy Wonka style Jelly Belly, Willy Wonka style treasure hunt, where he is going to give away a candy factory if you find the golden tickets that he has hidden around.
Okay.
He couldn't even, like, take it and turn it and twist it. He just said, like he watched, like, Willy Wonka with his kids and said, ah, fuck it. And he's just going to, like, copy and paste Willy Wonka's whole deal.
No. No, Travis, he's not. He's going to mix it up. Quite a bit. There is a gold ticket hidden in one in each state, as I understand it.
Yeah.
I will now tell you the particulars of this contest. And this is, I'm reading directly from the goldticket.com, how to play. Each treasure hunt game will have a game location and a start date and cost $49.98 to play. And then it says, this is the cost for the riddle.
This is the cost for the riddle?
This is the, it says in parentheticals, this is the cost for the riddle. The registered person who purchases the game will be signed up in a private forum. You must have a Facebook account. The day and time your treasure hunt starts, you will receive the riddle in your group. You will be looking for a gold ticket in the form of a necklace with a tag that includes a code you need to verify your find. Winners will receive $5,000. Gold ticket codes must be submitted to this email address. All treasure hunt players will be eligible to join in on the ultimate treasure hunt where I give away one of my candy factories.
Okay, but okay, in real life though, getting that candy factory means now you have employees to worry about and like payroll taxes and like fucking workman's comp and OSHA and shit. It's not like, yes, let food pull this river of chocolate. Oh, I love that. Everything's eatable.
I think OSHA gives a little bit of just it gives a bit of clearance to candy factories if Willy Wonka's film is to be believed. I think OSHA's like, they're doing something wonderful and whimsical over there. Let's just let them do what they need to do to make these jelly beans.
Assuming. Sorry, I got a little bit distracted because I was absolutely paying the $50 I need to get in on this incredible treasure hunt.
West Virginia,
guys, don't get it twisted. $50 is the cost for the riddle. Okay, so I'm pretty excited.
You could take this for West Virginia. The population.
That's what I feel like. I feel like I've got a pretty good shot here.
What's stopping you from paying the $50, getting the riddle, and then just blasting that out to our millions and millions and millions of listeners?
Oh, that's a good idea. Because I paid the cost for the riddle.
Right. That's not the, no prize to enter. Or like, you know what I mean? Like anyone can enter. But if you want the riddle, you pay $49.
I'm assuming that you have to pay the $49.98 to get the riddle. But I'm not going to give a riddle away for free. I wouldn't do the Candyman like that. He and I are going to be working in very close concert. When I start doing the candy factory the way I want to do it, if you know what I mean.
What kind of big changes do you got planned, Justin, for the Jelly Belly brand?
It's okay. I can't stress this enough. This is in no way connected to the Jelly Belly brand. Candyman is a different guy.
He created Jelly Belly.
He sold Jelly Bellies. Jelly Belly has no. There's going to be people walking up to a factory like, "I'll take this one." Like, no, we're not doing. That's not the thing.
So, what does he produce in his mini factories?
Do you want me to list the products of CandymanKitchens.com? There's crime scene candy and blood and clot.
Okay. Ew, God.
That's one that you can get.
You know what? Blood clot candy. Just leave it there, J-Man, because now I want to win so I can shut it down.
Shut it all down. Make this stuff ethically. Do it different.
I believe in farm-to-table blood clot candy.
Here's a quote. The world needs this right now.
Fuck.
Okay.
We have received thousands of comments from people who say this has come at such a perfect time.
We've received thousands of comments of like, please give me Candy Factory. I need this.
I was just thinking about how if somebody did a Willy Wonka, it would really start fixing shit.
Yeah, that would fix it all. So I'm so excited about that. I will keep you guys abreast of my progress.
Okay. This will be the greatest Riddle Me Piss of our generation.
And right. Maybe the last one. So the stakes are very high.
Yeah. If I win, you can't do Riddle Me Piss anymore.
And if you win, okay. I assume you're retiring from My Brother, My Brother. I
mean. Oh, the show's done. The show's done.
Oh, the show's over. Yeah. I have a Candy Factory.
Like, it'll be Justin's Candy Factory, but I'm assuming you will let us sort of, you know, join the board at least. And we can
You'll be on the board for sure.
Okay.
I need to get my wisdom teeth out soon, and I'm looking to sell them to an artist. I'm really tight on money right now, and as an artist, I love supporting other artists. The issue is, I don't know how to find any artists looking for teeth. I looked everywhere, and no one is buying. How much should I sell them for? How can I sell my teeth so I can eat through a straw for a while? That's from Strap for Cash in St. Paul, Minnesota. Or Minneapolis? Minnesota. Minneapolis is the city in the... So confused.
There's so much going on in this question.
I don't get out of the house anymore. I've been to this place, yeah. And it's but a faint memory.
There's so much going on. My favorite thing about this question, what makes me love this question, is that you question asker were like, and so I'm going to sell them to an artist. Don't get it twisted. No artists are buying them. So this is a wholly created scenario.
I'm going to search Craigslist for teeth.
Okay.
There's 287 results.
Okay.
For teeth. Here's a.
I'm going to check eBay for human teeth.
Yeah, I should have.
I don't want to just make something up.
I should have been more specific.
Well, here's.
Okay. I got a lot of. Okay. Okay.
All right. Let's all explain sort of
the
what
the price
we found.
Isn't. Okay. Have you found prices? Travis, you're not looking at prices.
No,
right?
I'm not.
Okay. Let's say 20 teeth.
Okay.
What do you think the going set is on that?
20
for human
teeth? 20, you are these adult teeth or baby teeth?
These are a lot. I'm looking at the very first result.
How many in...
Shut up. It does specify pre-owned.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Okay. Glad that mystery's cleared up. Okay.
Lot of human teeth. The very first result, lot of human teeth. And this is the new haunted. Don't watch. I'm just going to talk about, okay, lot of human teeth, 20 teeth. What are you going to pay for these teeth? What do you think the-
I'm going to say 200. 200 current for bid the
is,
lot.
Current bid is $50.
Okay. There
is, now, that's not a buy it now. There is a buy it now. I have 8 fucking- grotesque teeth that I'm looking at that you could buy for $35. They are vulgar and they make me want to throw up. Now there's a really, this says nice set of human teeth.
Oh, okay.
For crafts.
Uh-huh.
Hand selected 27 count, intact crowns with some signs of minor decay and incomplete root formation to perfect. Perfect teeth. And now this is 27 perfect teeth. What are you going to give me?
For 27 perfect?
Perfect teeth. There's a buy it now.
I'm going to say, okay, I was way off last time.
Yep.
I'm going to say $100.
Wow, $125. Okay. So that's where we're at price-wise.
So okay, just run the- and also, backdoor, welcome to my new pitch for a spinoff of Antiques Roadshow. I brought in my teeth. Oh, these are... excellent. These are, this is colonial style. I love this.
If we're doing 4 wisdom teeth, then at most, if we're using this, you're going to be able to sell them for $18.50. Which ain't nothing, but it's also, I don't know, not a lot to pay rent or whatever.
You got to look at the market, right? Because you got to think, baby teeth are probably way down there, right? A lot of baby teeth floating around. Everybody's got them. You know, like you had them at some point, you lost them at some point. It is guaranteed that there will always be more and more baby teeth on the market. Then right after that has to be wisdom teeth, right? Like,
yeah.
Wisdom teeth is a thing that comes in and almost everybody gets it removed. You got to think top dollar is going for like front
grown
adult
teeth. Folks
teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those front four.
This reframes the popular holiday song, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. And it's like, don't be so fucking, like, I want a Nintendo 64 for Christmas. Like, we don't always get the things that we want. That would be like $500 for two front, the best teeth are your two front teeth.
Maybe incisors. I might give you incisors because incisors, you only got four of them.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of the ripping and tearing work, right? Yeah. Molars, that's all grinding, right? A lot of those that are in the back, you don't even see them as much. Yeah. Incisors, though, I feel like maybe those are the money teeth.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Okay, I've decided, I've just made a decision.
Okay.
I'm going to set up, okay, yes, this will be good. I'm going to set up a program.
Oh, boy.
I, Justin McElroy, will buy the teeth for $100. Question asker, please give me your Venmo information. I will Venmo you the teeth.
It's an enormous breach of
$100
power dynamics.
I feel like
no. Listen,
yeah, there's
it's
a condition
not a breach of power dynamics.
Hold on.
There's a part two. Okay, if you are an artist, please email us with the subject line "I will use the teeth," and then tell us in as much detail as possible your plans for the teeth.
Oh, boy.
We will then read some of these on the program and choose the best use of the teeth that we will then legally own and arrange shipping from the tooth holder to the artist.
Now, I want to stress something.
Me and Travis have nothing to do with this.
Yes. One, legally, Griffin and I are not a part of this. Two, anyone listening to this who's like, I'd sell my teeth, this is a one-time thing.
It's a one-time deal. We're not going to set this show up as a black market tooth exchange. Just this one time. And if you are not A, a legitimate artist, who B, does not have a legitimate use for these, because you know we're going to we'll be all over you for with pictures, descriptions, by the moment, use of the teeth. I'm going to need all the details, so do not try to wade into this. Okay. Like you're just going to pick up teeth craft. I need a real artist who has a real great idea.
Hey,
for these teeth.
Are we sure that this is entirely legal?
It doesn't so much legal to me.
Because we're paying a human being for part of their body, and then we're
incorrect.
Giving. Yeah, no, correct.
I'm sending $100 to a friend who will then be so inspired by my generosity that they're going to mail their teeth to a stranger.
Oh, okay.
That's all that's happening here.
At no point. Are you going to touch these
teeth? At no point, I can't stress this enough. I at no point want to see or possess these teeth.
Until they are art.
The deal is
off.
Until they're art. And then I double don't want them.
Yeah, then you need to donate that shit to a museum.
Then it belongs in a museum.
A yucky museum.
So I don't want the teeth. I don't want to see the teeth until the art is. And then I still don't want them.
Not in person, for sure.
No, but this is a tooth patronage. Please follow up. Just reply to your first email with your payment information. I will buy the teeth on consignment.
No, you will send them a gift of
$100. Send them a stipend.
With the understanding that you will then send the teeth to a deserving artist who would just love those chompy little bones.
And I swear to God, if somebody's like, I'm going to glue them to Mona Lisa, that's fucking funny. That would look funny.
Stop it.
That would be
don't waste
great.
Our time. You're keeping real artists who really need real teeth real bad from our awareness. So please don't do that.
Can I get that
email address, by the way? It's mbmbam@maximumfun.org. And just make sure the subject line is I will use the teeth in all caps.
And hey, let's not make it weird, okay, everybody? Let's keep it pretty chill.
Let's keep it like cool and nice.
Nothing weird with these teeth.
What if it turns out there's a huge tooth demand, though?
I thought you were going to say a huge tooth. Like you get the teeth in and it's like,
what the fuck? Huge,
this was a deep root.
Can I do a Yahoo that was sent in by Johannes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Johannes. It's from Yahoo, an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who I'm going to call Dr. Teeth, who asks, this question's so powerful. Which actors would have played Frasier if Frasier could regenerate like the Doctor on Doctor Who?
Yes. Yes.
Frasier is at an opera, chandelier, snap, falls from the ceiling, smashes him. Yeah. Smashes him.
The only way to kill Frasier.
The only way that Frasier can be killed. And then everybody's like, oh no, Frostier, he's dead. But then he starts to glow. Kelsey Grammer turns into...
John Lithgow.
I was also thinking John Lithgow.
Boom.
Amazing. Amazing.
John Lithgow, a second chandelier, whoop, snap, right on Johnny Boy. He starts to fucking glow again. This time, he turns into Justin. He turns into Justin.
No, it doesn't turn. I have to name an actor now.
Yeah. You weren't already thinking of one? Come on, play the fucking game. Get your head in the game, boy. This is a game, boy.
Daniel Radcliffe.
No.
Oh, no, Travis, you can't. No. We only yes on this show.
Okay.
I missed the question. And you guys sound insane to me right now.
Wait, you missed the question?
You guys sound so wild. I just missed the question.
Okay, Travis, don't tell him the question. Justin, I want more answers to the question.
Okay.
Daniel Radcliffe is crushed by...
What have you heard so far, Justin?
I heard John Lithgow and something about a chandelier.
Okay, so good, perfect. Okay. You know everything you need to know. Daniel Radcliffe is tragically smooshed by a third, even bigger chandelier. His body starts to glow and he transforms into...
Larry Bird?
Oh!
An interesting Bold. Choice that I don't Bold. Hate.
Now, that might that seem a like a choice? Stunt choice.
Now, Larry Bird, I will say this, probably knows a lot about wine. I yeah, don't fam. Hate it, Juice.
Wait, how does wine
I
figure
I don't in? Hate it, Juice.
How does wine figure
You're
in?
Never going to believe this.
Who
the,
would you,
first, the first
who would
chandelier.
You partner with Larry Bird?
No, because there's not two doctors on Doctor Who.
No, but the doctor gets
okay,
new
wait,
companions.
Okay, so there's Doctor Who and there's wine is involved. Okay.
Okay. The first
Doctor
chandelier.
Doctor Who gets new companions, though.
That's true. The first chandelier.
It's got to be Jordan, by the way. I'd love to see the two
of them. Oh, okay. I could hang with that. The first chandelier zips back up to the ceiling and then falls on Larry Bird, tragically killing him, but his body starts to glow and then he transforms into who next, Justin?
Well, can I give you another point of data, Justin, what I was going to say and maybe see if this will
give
inform your next choice?
Yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss was what
okay.
I was going to say next.
Richard Dreyfuss is a very, I will say this, Travis, a very dry choice. It's and I'm going to squish choice. Him. I'm going to yeah, squish safe. Him basically immediately.
Okay, that's fair.
Richard Dreyfuss glows and transforms into who next, Justin? In this classic role that is not Doctor Who.
Aaliyah Shawkat.
Huh. Holy shit.
I'd watch the fuck out
of that. Yeah, I mean, I'd watch the fuck out of that. Would, okay, let me see if I can phrase this in a question that won't give it entirely away. Is that, would there be any dramatic changes to the personality of this classic character as played by Aaliyah Shawkat? Or are we just going straight down the middle?
Shorter?
Yeah, like I mean, Obs. Yeah.
Urbane? Probably more urbane?
More urbane.
Not possible.
Okay. Erudite?
More erudite.
More erudite.
Holy shit.
Wow, fucking.
Wait, let me make sure that word means.
It's going to be off the charts.
Oh, man, I was trying to Google the definition for erudite, and I Googled the definition for erudite, which is so embarrassing on like three different levels at the same time. Erudite.
Justin, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we are talking about Frasier, and I think Aaliyah Shawkat as Frasier is one of the boldest sort of choices you've...
Okay, Frasier. I put it right up there with Larry Bird, though, who I think right there, Larry Bird was announced, and I think a big part of the audience was like, no, thank you, stunt casting. But like, it wasn't stunt casting. He auditioned. He said, don't give it to me just on my name. Give it to me based on merit. He auditioned, nailed it. Even Kelsey Grammer was like, that's more... Like, he's more Frasier than he's Frasierist. And so they gave it to Larry Bird, and Larry Bird did great. He ran for 9 seasons.
I think that most television sitcom producers are cowards.
Yeah.
Because, let me hit you with this. Season 3 finale of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They fucking, Aunt Viv...
Yep.
It's like walking down the stairs and then like trips and goes over and falls horribly and is just dunsies. And Fresh Prince is like, oh no. But then she transforms into a different actress. And that's the way that they fucking write that out. That's how they write that off. You don't just do a switch. Fucking Two and a Half Men. Well, I guess they did do a sort of in-fiction thing with Two and a Half Men. But
you know, not the same. He didn't just regenerate into a different character.
That's fair.
Because here's the thing. Doctor Who, that was bullshit they made up to recast the part, right?
Like, yeah.
It's not like, well, that it's just true about Time Lords. No, they fucking made that up. Anyone could make that up.
Anyone can do it.
Do you guys want to hear the fucking best? I actually have the best casting for Frasier and Niles.
Okay.
Okay.
If and this is what would happen if it was getting rebooted today, I'm going to get Johnny Galecki and Jim Parsons as Frasier and Niles.
I love it.
They're back. They're back together again.
Okay.
The Big Bangs are banging once more.
And
get Kaylee for Daphne.
Now, Justin, it just kind of feels like what you're doing is rebooting Frasier, but also Big Bang Theory.
This is sort of your back door.
Mayim Bialik is Ross. Easy.
Okay, you're just kind of slamming Big Bang Theory and Frasier together and seeing what noise it makes.
I'm just hearing the wet slap of Frasier and Big Bang Theory just kind of running into each other in your
Martin, Justin?
Will Wheaton.
Okay. And who plays the dog? John Ross Bowie.
John Ross Bowie is back with Christine Baranski was on Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Perfect.
You guys know
a lot. I think she was probably also on Frasier.
You guys know a lot about Big Bang Theory.
Thank you, girl. God, so you hope somebody's going to notice. Let's take a quick break.
Oh, wait, hold on, Justin. Yep. Parsons, Galecki, which one's which?
Uh-oh.
Which one's Frasier? Which one's Niles?
True West.
True West,
baby.
True Westing it.
True Westing it, baby. Every episode's a True West.
And so they swap episode to episode, not halfway through each episode?
Interesting.
No, every commercial break.
That's the best option.
There's very distinct glasses.
That's great.
Maybe they have hats that they always wear.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more great content.
Holy shit.
Smooth.
Do you guys remember when Kelsey Grammer fell off that stage?
Oh, yeah, baby.
I think about it every day.
Every single day.
Hey, Griffin.
Yay.
Bring me some food.
Nope. You're too far away from me.
No, I'll tell you what food I want.
Okay.
And I'll give you money for it.
Right.
But you have to bring it to me.
No, you're several thousand miles away.
That sucks. What am I supposed to do?
Starve.
Damn it.
Or use DoorDash. You could do DoorDash.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the other option.
What is this DoorDash you mentioned?
Oh, it's the app that brings food that you're craving right now to your door. It's weird that you're asking me all this because it is in the copy points. And so if this is like a need that you need filled, there's literal text information in front of you. It's really easy to use it. You just open the DoorDash app and you choose what you want to eat, and then your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. And then they have all your favorite local restaurants that are open for delivery, and you just pick them.
I haven't gotten any new food into my house since March of 2020.
Oh, no, that's not good. You should be getting more food, but also DoorDash is a really great way to do it. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more and zero delivery fees for their first month when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code BROTHER. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees for a month when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BROTHER. Don't forget, one last time, that's BROTHER for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Hey, Justin.
What's up?
I want you to make me a website.
I don't know how to make a website.
Well, I'll tell you how to make it, and then if anything breaks on it, you'll be there to help me fix it 24/7. How's that sound?
That's a huge amount of pressure, Travis. I don't think I can...
Well, I need you to use some beautiful templates, and I need help showcasing my work and selling products and services of all kinds. And I assume you offer analytics that help me grow in real time?
I can barely do the website.
What
and you
fucking
want analytics?
Good are you then? I'm just going to use Squarespace. You can get
okay.
Hey, you can both get out of here. From now on, I got two brothers, DoorDash and Squarespace.
Okay.
That's it. Those are the only brothers I answer to, and I look forward to spending Christmas with them.
All right.
Okay. Wow, this is so This is so combative.
Hey, Squarespace, this can't be what they wanted. I love you. We're blood now. Thank you for helping me promote my physical online business. Thank you for having everything optimized for mobile right out of the box. Thank you for free and secure hosting and nothing to patch or upgrade ever. You've always been there for me, unlike my two lazy brothers who will neither bring me food nor build me a website. So everyone else, leave your friends and family behind and join the family, Squarespace, with open arms. Go to squarespace.com/mybrother. For a free trial, when you're ready to launch, use the offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace, all the family you'll ever need.
It says that. It says only us, no one else, or else we'll know, and it's over.
It says turn over all your physical belongings to Squarespace. We're all the family you'll ever need.
Wild that it says that.
It does.
I don't think that's good.
I mean, listen, from my experience so far, it's all the family I need.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Graham Clark, and I'm one half of the podcast Stop Podcasting Yourself, a show that we've recorded for many, many years. And at the moment, instead of being in person, we're recording remotely, and you wouldn't even notice. You don't even notice the lag.
That's right, Graham. And the great thing about this, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. And,
okay, go ahead.
And you can listen to us every week on MaximumFun.org.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your podcasts.
Can I do another Yahoo that was sent in by a lot of people?
Give me that big, dirty, stinky Yahoo.
Jesus. This one was sent in by several people. Like I said, it's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who I'm going to call Tammy, asks, is it impolite not to open the window when a crow, who used to be my friend, knocks on it?
Wait.
I used to be friends with a crow in my street. He comes to my window for snacks and has sometimes brought me cool rocks. But last week, he saw me walk my dog and hacked at him. My dog was so scared. I'm extremely mad at the crow now and can't even look at him. He doesn't get snacks anymore. But now he started to knock on my window. I feel so impolite not opening, but I am still angry. Should I maybe wait until he is sorry or apologizes in some way? Well, that's neither of those are going to happen.
Yeah, I will tell you, Griffin, for a second there, I thought what the question asker meant was, this is my friend. He died and is now a crow.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Yeah, and he keeps knocking on my window. Let me tell you this, Tammy. Your mistake here was you forgot that at the end of the day, no matter how many shiny stones or snacks you exchange with this crow, it's still a crow. And crows is going to hack at dogs.
Yeah.
Right? This is kind of like the frog and the scorpion. Where the scorpion's like, hey, give me a ride. And then the frog's like, no way, dude, you're a scorpion. And he's like, nah, it's cool. If I kill you, I'll die too. And then he does kill him and he dies too. And he's like, you forgot I was a scorpion?
Wow.
Except this is like the Tammy and the crow, where Tammy was like, hey, be my buddy. And the crow's like, you absolutely got it. Also, I'm going to peck your fingers. And you're like, oh, crow. And it's like, cool. Yeah, I'm a fucking crow, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Here's a shiny pebble or whatever the fuck. Did you read... There's an internet story, one of those like, nature is beautiful, where it was like this crow that like befriended a family or something. And then one day the family like dropped their camera lens cap off of like a thing and they're like, oh no. And then like the next day the crow had brought it back to them.
And all man, that's fucking like, great, man.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Tell me another one, Papa.
That crow was really there for them.
Hey, Papa, will you tell me one about the war?
Well, one time I was down in a foxhole really missing my sweetie. And when I woke up the next morning, a crow had flown my girlfriend over to Germany.
Same crow?
And we made love while the crow watched. That was the deal.
Whoa.
That was kind of the one stipulation.
So it's like War Crow, the 2011 movie. Did you
and
guys
then,
ever see
and
War
Crow? My girlfriend got pregnant and we named the baby the crow.
Did you guys ever see War Crow by Steven Spielberg?
The movie where that wartime couple made love in front of a crow?
It had an extended 49-minute long foxhole-based sex scene while it was actually a grackle that they cast, stunt grackle. Just watch the whole thing and is, I guess, inspired a generation?
Yep. I've seen some crows up around my place lately. I was driving home a couple weeks ago, and there was like 20 crows lined on the road blocking my return to my home.
Mm, you know what that means?
That was extreme. Yeah.
Do yeah. Huh? Going to be a long, cold summer.
Long, cold summer. But the thing I want to say about crows is when you see a crow in real life, they look, it doesn't look like they should be that big. They're extremely big. Yeah. And when you see a crow, it's kind of like, whoa, are you sure?
Yeah. Like I, the first time I saw a crow was in Warcrow. And like, I wasn't expecting them to have like four legs and like big, meaty haunches and a very long head. Well, and
is Warcrow especially big or is it just he got a lot of heart?
He's got a lot of heart.
It's both. It's both. He's very large and he cares a great deal.
And well, his physical heart is far too big, and that's why he dies in it, the movie.
But then they make an apartment out of his heart, like at the end of James and the Giant Peach.
I haven't seen Warhorse.
Oh, then what's this?
That's a sequel.
Oh, okay,
it's a sequel. I haven't seen Warhorse, but I assume from the title it means it's the first and only horse used in war. And that must have been very disconcerting for everybody on the battlefield the first time that a horse entered.
Get the fuck out of here!
Wait, what do we do with this?
Can we throw it?
What are you supposed to do with that? I'm afraid I'm trying to shoot humans. I'm going to hit a beautiful horse.
Now, to be fair,
this is terrible.
If I was on the other side, right? If I was the enemy and suddenly I just saw a horse walking towards me, I would lower my gun and be like, hey, now, what's up? But then that horse pulls out a gun, shoots me.
Oh, dang it.
I'm like, oh, shit.
I feel like using a war horse is an abuse of the beautiful relationship between a human and a horse.
Oh, sure.
Right? Yeah. They trust you implicitly. Your souls are intertwined. You shouldn't be leading them into battle against other humans because they will, but they're going to be up that night like, what?
Unless. It's reciprocated. If there's a war between horses, horse gets to bring
the sequel to War Horse is Horse War.
Yes. Horse War is the sequel. And the horse is like, I will take you to kill these men. But you must promise me.
Here's the deal.
That when my people go to war, you will be there. I will be riding your back at that time. I will ride you into battle, Jeff.
Sure.
This is my steed, Jeff.
Whatever you say, Buttermane, you got it. All right. Jeff, it's a Buttermane. The time has come.
Time has come.
Hog.
Really? Holy shit.
Yeah, dude.
The fracture between the Calgrani and the Billatouche has gone too far. There will be no peace. You, Jeff. Saddle up, Jeff.
Do you have the long stick of Fardet? My gun? Yeah, I still have that. Bring it. I've seen what it does. I bet it will be effective on horse flesh.
Now, put on
Enlist
the saddle,
foals.
Jeff. No, not on
foals.
Me.
No. We've covered that Buttermane will be riding
obviously.
Jeff. That's established canon at this point. Don't make horses go to war. Bam, 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 bam. I want a munch.
Squad.
I want to munch.
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad's podcast from the podcast profiling the latest and greatest brand eating. We have already talked about the Jelly Belly treasure hunt that has nothing to do with Jelly Belly. And now it's time for a celebrate good times. Come on.
Sorry, a what?
It's a celebration.
Okay, wait, can planners. I guess?
He just
Joe's Crab Shack?
No, sir. Planners.
What?
Unveils a collaboration to celebrate Baby Nuts. First
birthday. Oh.
So
that's what they went with, Baby Nut?
Yeah, bud.
So Mr. Peanut didn't die as he was supposed to. But at the same time, Mr. Peanut apparently has had a child this whole time named Baby Nut. But Baby Nut turned 21 and is now Peanut Jr.
Wait.
Are you with me so far?
Absolutely not.
Okay, perfect.
Is this like Planners one of those timelines things where like one comic book series is about Wolverine, but one is about like Logan before he became Wolverine, and one is about like Weapon X? Or are these all happening?
It's all happening at the same time.
Mr. Peanut had a son. The son was named Baby Nut. The son turned 21 and became peanut
chicken. He's got Jack disease.
No, he's 21 years old.
So wait, Mr. Peanut had this son 21 years ago, and this is just the first time we're hearing about him? Was he born out?
Have you been paying that close of attention to Mr. Peanut?
No.
Like, in every ad, if he's like, and also I have a son. Anyway, eat peanuts.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I will say that this actually makes sense. That one time I was watching it, it was like, we got all kinds of nuts, and that makes sense. And then he opens a letter and he reads it and he kind of crumbles it up and he's like, I'm not ready to accept this responsibility. Mm-hmm. And now I understand what that was in reference to.
If this Munch Squad were a loading screen, it would be at 3% progress. I must move on. Mr. Peanut has a son. His name was Baby Nut. He turned 21 and became Peanut Jr.
Fair? Yes. Okay, yeah.
To celebrate this, planners today unveiled a limited edition run of beer-flavored peanuts co-branded with Natural Light as part of a marketing stunt surrounding the rapidly aging spokesnut. Planners and Natural Light beer flavored peanuts.
Hey, press release? You can't just throw in a term like rapidly aging and not make me think of like a Star Trek episode or a Doctor Who episode. Like, listen, he'll be dead within the week. Let him have this.
So the natural, I don't want to be classist, but Natural Light isn't the best tasting liquid. There's other liquids that I think are superior in taste. In fact, other liquids in the beer family. In fact, other liquids in the cost-effective, low-cost beer family that taste maybe even just a little bit better than Old Natty Light. So strange bedfellows.
Perhaps a Miller High Life. It is the champagne of beers.
I would take that.
Or perhaps a PBR, well-known hipster brand.
Yeah. Justin, what else?
I'm trying to piece this all together, but planners... So Baby Nut... So, okay, all right, I'm trying to piece this together.
Justin, you've got a lot of string tied up on this board here with a lot of pictures going between it. Please explain.
Right, okay, so remember when Mr. Peanut died?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The worst day of my fucking life.
So, at that time, Baby Nut is what morphed from the corpse of Mr. Peanut, I understand it?
Yeah, totally.
I didn't want to correct
Death
you.
Of Superman. Then there's Superboy and the Last Krypton,
right.
And I believe Steel was in there as well. And yeah, of course.
So he was Baby Nut, is what formed from the husk
like a
of
phoenix.
Mr. Peanut. Sorry?
Like a phoenix.
Okay, sure. That's fine. But he formed from the husk of Mr. Peanut, and then he is transmogrifying now into Peanut Jr. Does that make sense?
Huh. You can keep saying it. This is, I think, about the fifth time that you've tried to walk us through the timeline of Baby Nut.
So here's the ad. Give me 20 seconds. Just listen to this. Don't say anything.
ID?
Yes, sir.
Wait. So you're telling me you fell off a cliff, came back to life as a baby, and now you're 21?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a weird year.
So, Peanut Jr., he's now 21, and because of that, they're making beer nuts that are flavored like the, you understand?
Yes.
Yeah, but
celebrate people who miss their birthdays due to COVID. That's what this says here.
Read the exact quote. That sounds super nice.
This comes after Baby Nut, who was introduced in February during Planner's controversial Super Bowl ad, morphed into Peanut Jr. earlier this month as a way to connect with consumers whose birthdays have gone by with little to no fanfare due to COVID-19 quarantine measures. That's what it says.
That's really nice of them.
Can I also just pull back your curtain there a little bit? Because what they are basically saying is like, we committed to this like Baby Peanut bit and weren't going anywhere with it. So as soon as we saw the slimmest off-ramp, we took it.
Right. We took it. Now it's Peanut Jr.
And can I also say, just after that ad you played, it does kind of sound like Peanut Jr. is using a fake ID.
It's very suspicious.
The read on it is definitely like, it's been a weird year. Can I have my beer now, please, sir? Please.
At the time when he morphed, the quote was this: Peanut Jr. still has a lot to learn, like what his favorite go-to drink is, as he continues to grow up to become a peanut of the people.
Jesus.
And apparently, that was the quote given at that point, right? But now we know what his favorite drink is, and it's apparently Natty Light.
Yeah.
Which actually tracks. Sure. I mean, it tracks, except for the fact that he probably inherited the peanut planner's fortune.
Yeah.
And does not need to drink Natty Light.
Oh, it's ironic.
Maybe that's what's happening.
Okay. I would have gone with a Bud Light Limerita, but that would just be my guess for what Baby Junior Mr. Peanut is into.
So now we're going to go a little bit deeper. See, Natural Light is an economy beer brand owned by Anheuser-Busch InBev, which, like Planner's owner Kraft Heinz, has ties to Brazilian investment firm 3G Capital.
Wait a minute. Okay, this goes all the way to the top.
It goes all the way to the top, baby. 5G isn't causing COVID, but 3G is causing Natural Light flavored Planner's peanuts. It goes all the way to the top. And you can buy these nuts. It just says here, I try to click the link. It just says you can buy these nuts if you're a dirtbag, it says. So I guess if you're a dirtbag, you should be able to find them.
As is so often the case with Munch Squad, now I want to try it. I didn't before.
Nothing goes to get. This is from Mike, executive creative director at VaynerMedia, which has engineered a lot of evil in the past few years. Nothing goes together like beer and nuts. We're thrilled to work with Natural Light to make the union official with beer-flavored peanuts.
Okay, but it's not like when Cheez-It and House Wine partnered, they didn't make wine-flavored Cheez-Its.
That would be actually very good.
Pretty cool.
I think I would actually really like that.
I have had a peanut butter stout before. I have had what I would call nut-flavored beer.
Okay.
I am not at all interested.
It's a weird flex, but okay.
I'm just saying I'm not at all. If someone said, do you want me to soak these peanuts in beer before you eat them?
I'd assume the nuts are not soggy and wet, Travis.
And I'd hope so. I'd hope not, but what do you picture? It's got beer dust on it?
Just like a dusting like a flavor of beer. Like a flavor
Gross.
Of beer. You know how flavoring works.
Probably made with beaver anus.
Why did you say that?
Why would you say that?
Oh, they use beaver like anus like juices in a lot of fake flavorings.
That's gross, Travis.
That's so not true,
bud. Why'd you do that?
I don't do it.
They you don't do it. It.
Beaver.
That is a real thing.
Now, everyone listen to the sound of, this is for your ASMR triggers, the sound of my brother Googling beaver anus.
I'm doing it quietly on my phone. Thank you very much.
Oh, huh. Hey, cool. Yeah, I guess so. So I guess anything, I guess anything that you eat that has flavor in it, you're just eating ass.
You thought I was lying, didn't you? You thought I was wrong.
I don't know what I thought.
All right. Wow, yeah, look at that.
Why? Is it good?
Wow.
Who discovered this? That's what I need to know. Who's like, that's actually, I wanted to eat, I said I would eat the entire beaver on a dare,
okay. But
I'm enjoying the ass more than I thought I would.
So I just happen to have on my desk that I've been snacking on a little bit, some jelly beans. Those are going right in the fucking garbage can.
Is beaver anus in Jelly Bellies? It's in Haribo.
I think I'm okay.
Jelly beans have a shellac on them that is made from the secretions of a bug.
Okay.
A beeswax?
No. If you see an ingredient titled confectioner's glaze, see if that's on your jelly
beans.
It's
in there, yeah. They do have that. Cool. I mean, I'd rather eat bugs than eat out a beaver's butt. I don't know them. You know what I mean? How come it's just beavers? How come God gave the beaver the most flavorful butt glands?
I don't know.
Oh,
here we are.
Here we are. Yeah. Well,
living in this truth altogether.
This is the worst episode that we've put out so far.
Just because of the truths contained within?
I mean, I think all around, I don't think there's anything redemptive about what happened before this.
Like everything we said in the episode doesn't balance out the whole
no,
beaver
God, no,
butt
Christ,
thing.
No, No, okay. I mean, we would have to give out the there's winning lotto ticket numbers or something.
Okay, this is the thing. There's a food dye in Nerds that's made from crushed and boiled beetles.
Yeah.
Sure.
Cool. All right. So we're all fucking nasty, nasty Timon and Pumbaa. Let's end it, the show and episode.
Now, to be fair, Griffin, you have numerous times said that Timon and Pumbaa made you want to eat those bugs.
Yes, yeah, well, that's now, true. But now you've got the opportunity, thanks to Nerds.
But I want to be able to give consent to Timon and Pumbaa before I eat the bugs. I don't want them tricking me.
Yeah. You got to watch
this. Try this, Simba. It's beaver ass.
It's beaver ass.
It's the one thing we love out here on the savannah.
Beaver ass.
Hakuna my ass. Delicious.
I think I'm going to go back and deal with Scar.
No.
Nope.
He won't have you anymore. You've been sullied.
You better
He'll know you ate the ass. He'll know. If you go back, we're going to tell everybody you ate the ass and loved it.
What? Beaver ass pancakes, beaver ass tortillas, beaver ass tacos. We got everything.
Something smells like vanilla ice cream, which almost universally contains beaver ass.
It's me, Scar. I ate the beaver ass. Mufasa's like, don't eat the beaver ass.
I thought I told you. What? I Ghost Dad, I've missed you so much. You come back to talk to me. I told you'd never eat beaver ass.
I reject you. I can no longer recognize you as my heir.
Just popped back to say I'm disappointed.
Anyway, bye.
Hi, it's me, the beaver. I'm up here with your dad, and I can't believe you ate my ass. I'm dead, and you ate my ass.
The king is a perv.
You're no king.
That's what Rafiki is wiping on him, by the way, just in case anyone was wondering. It's a mixture of beetles and beaver ass.
You're nasty. Go out into the world.
This is Scar's entire plan, is to trick Simba into eating beaver ass and then tell everybody.
Well, it looks like you've beaten me, but before I surrender, just one more thing.
Just one more thing. Yes, I told all the giraffes that you ate beaver ass and also geese. They know now. And the beavers were not thrilled, let me tell you.
Well, some of them were, but
some of them
you
were.
Know how they are.
There are some of them are extremely flexible on a moral spectrum. Thank you for listening to what has presumably not been canceled, a podcast by us, the McElroy Brothers, called My Brother and Me. We hope you have enjoyed your time with us as we continue to soldier on through this absolutely bizarre period in our planet history.
Yep. We wrote a book about how to podcast. It is like a guide that will actually like walk you through step by step. But we wrote it, so it's also kind of funny. I think you'll like reading it. Hey, you will like reading it. You can pre-order it at McElroyPodcastBook.com. What are you waiting for? Go do that. Let's see, what else?
Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. You can find that on the internet and in a bunch of different places, I bet. And thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows there. Shows like Stop Podcasting Yourself and Heat Rocks and a whole bunch more, all at MaximumFun.org.
We got some good new merch up there at the MacroyMerch.com store, including some bee pins that represent the three of us and our dad as a horrible bee monster. So make sure you check that out. Don't forget to get registered to vote and vote early. And make sure you do some research on local elections because, you know, it starts local, then moves up the chain. Plus, there's a lot of Senate seats up for grabs. And then vote for Joe Biden.
Thank you for being here. We hope you're hanging in there, doing okay. Don't forget, artists, I will use the teeth. Teeth owner. Get at us.
This final Yahoo.
We're
was,
not narcs. This isn't a sting.
No, it would be a very weird roundabout sting if it was. This one was sent in by the wizard Emma Kant. Thank you, Emma. It's Yahoo Answers user. Another anonymous one. Stop being so fucking scared and stand up for yourself for once. Billup asks, does anyone really believe it's a coincidence that the two surviving beetles are the circumcised ones?
I I could my not have for money told you where that was going.
My name is Justin McElroy.
Hi, Travis.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother May Kiss Your Dad Square in the Lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.